Good morning. It is great to see everyone this morning. I would ask you, if you will, to open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Brian had mentioned that Prashant is in the United States. I did spend a couple days with him this week at PTP. He's got a table set up, and he is trying to help out the work and get support and get the knowledge of the work out there for Central India. This morning he was in Branson. They gave him the Bible class hour to present the work there. And so be prayerful for him. His plans got thrown off a little bit. He was supposed to come back, and there's a lady that is one of his supporters that has been since he was a student at Memphis. Her son committed suicide about a week ago, and so his plans fell through for where he was going to be staying. And I got to Branson, and we were getting things kind of sorted out and lined out, and Gage came by and he said, "Hey, why don't you come to Honduras with me?" So he's a little nervous about going to Honduras this next week, but that's where he's headed. So I would tell you to keep him in your prayers. He's like, "Brother, I love Gage, but he can be crazy." Amen. He can be. So anyway, I'd tell you to keep him in your prayers. He'll be there. Safe trip there, safe trip back, and he'll do PTP in Sevierville and then fly back to India. So keep him. He's going to be gone from his family for about 6 weeks. They're a little nervous. He's a little nervous, but I tell you to keep him in your prayers. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to notice, beginning in verse number 9, notice what Paul writes to Timothy. He said, "In like manner also let the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety, moderation, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." Usually we think about modesty, this is where we go, isn't it? Women, you need to pay attention to how you dress. That you need to make sure that you don't braid your hair with gold and things. And that's the custom of the day, was that they would put pieces of gold, silver, whatever they could afford of metal, and braid that into their hair, and it gave it a shimmer. Okay? And if it was gold, then you were upper class. And you went down in class with each medal that you had that was in your hair. This morning, I like to look at modesty. We'll go back to Genesis chapter 3 there in verse 21. You had God who had walked in the garden, and sin has entered, right, into the world. Adam and Eve have been tempted. They have sinned. And they have clothed themselves with fig leaves. They sewed those together and yet still called themselves naked. They had not done what was proper and right to be able to cover themselves. They knew that they were still naked. Verse 21 there, notice that God made them tunics, garments of animal skin, and covered them. And you can, listen, you can get into all those debates. Fact of the matter is, God covered them in a godly manner. Whether that was past the knees or down to the ankles is a matter of opinion. I'm not going to get into that. What I'm going to tell you is God covered them completely so that they were covered. Look at Exodus chapter 28, and I'll show you what that would look like. God did not want them to be walking around exposing their nakedness. After they had sinned in the garden, their eyes were open. They knew that they were naked, and they did something about it to cover themselves, but knew that that was still not good enough. Here in Exodus chapter 28, God is explaining to Moses the priestly garments and what they are to look like. When you think about the way that the tabernacle was going to be set up, the altars would be set up, there were stairs and things that they were going to be climbing up, and so under their robes, and their robes, think about this, would have gone, and the way that they were described, would have gone all the way to the ground. However, if they girded them up so that they could walk and not trip, they were going to come back up. And notice there are things that would be uncovered. here in Exodus 28, beginning in verse 42, you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thighs. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come into the tabernacle of meeting or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and his descendants after him. God said, I don't want to see their bare flesh. Nobody needs to see their bare flesh. Cover them up. They are to do wear these every time. Waist, thighs. A pair of boxer shorts perhaps that we wear today. They're to be covered. I don't want. They're to be holy. They come near to me. They need to make sure that they are covered. I don't want to have to worry about those things. Look at Isaiah chapter 3 and we think about the children of Israel here. There was a mindset that went along with this. And this morning, that truly is what I want to get into. It's not just modesty based on what we wear. But if we have the attitude and a mindset of modesty, we don't have to worry about those things. That modesty starts with our hearts, the same way that everything else begins. Jesus is very clear in Matthew chapter 5. 6 and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, but especially chapter 5 when he talks to them about where adultery begins, in the heart. Murder begins in the heart. All of these things, we have a difference in mindset. Here in Isaiah chapter 3, notice beginning in verse number 16, moreover the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, walk with outstretched necks, and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a jingling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the finery, the jingling anklets, the scarves and the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets and the veils, the headdresses, the leg ornaments and the headbands, the perfume boxes, the charms and the rings, the nose jewels, the festal apparel and the mantles, the outer garments, the purses and the mirrors, the fine linen, the turbans and the robes. And so it shall be. Instead of a sweet smell, there will be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth. And branding instead of beauty. Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty in the war. You think about these words that God writes to describe. The first thing that we see there are these necks that are outstretched in verse number 16. This means they're holding their head high. They would look down their nose at anybody else under them or that they felt was under them. You're not as high and mighty as I am. Notice these wanton eyes is a state of excessive immoral living. That's how that description goes. A state of excess immoral living. I'm always looking for that type of lifestyle. That's what Isaiah is writing about. This is what God is saying. I'm not to be that way. You think about the jangling and things as they walk. They want you to know everything that they have. My grandmother, that passed away recently, was an Avon lady. She had all of the things that you could sell, she could sell. She was selling it. And she at one point in time had become, she was their top salesperson of the year one year. She was diligent. She worked really hard. And she wanted you to know, when we went in to her apartment, and keep in mind that they'd already had about a ton of garage sales before moving her from Oklahoma to Kansas. We went in, and you can ask my kids, we opened up. There, she had a bunch of jewelry chests and different drawers all over the place, and all of this, what you'd call costume jewelry, right? I remember one time as a kid that my sister and my cousin, Rebecca, they went in and put on all these things, and both of them came out lined. They had rings all over every finger. They had bracelets all the way up to their shoulders.
They had necklaces on. They came out. We told them they looked like Mr. T. Okay, it's kind of how they looked. And for you younger guys, look up the 18 and you can see Mr. T. Okay,
but that's how they looked. They had all this on, and my sister, I remember her making the remark. She said, "This stuff is heavy." She went in to take all of those things off. My grandmother was so proud of all of the stuff that she had. And we would go to banquets and go to things for her, for Avon and things, and she would wear as much of those things as she could. And you started to look around and you noticed that all of those ladies were dressed the exact same way. It's no different for the guys. I'm not trying to pick on ladies this morning, okay? I'm just telling you about my grandmother. My granddad was the exact same way. They went anywhere. He had 5 different rings, and they made sure that all of those rings were on. Okay, he had a bracelet that he wore and a chain around his neck. If we were going out, he was going to make sure that he was going out that way. What was the mindset? I want you to see what I have. I want you to see everything that I have and how important it is for me to have all of these things. What do we want people to know about us? What do we want people to see in us? Look with me at Philippians chapter 2. And I want to this morning to look at the fact that modesty, again, begins in the heart. It's a mindset. Yeah, I get that we can get into what people wear, and I'm telling you now, guys are just as bad as girls when it comes to this. This is not one gender or the other. This is everybody. When I ran cross country, we didn't put shirts on. Sometimes we were even more ornery. We took our shorts off and wore them on our heads like a turban. We ran in our boxers in public. And I think back then, I'm like, our coach was dumb. But our coach most of the time didn't have a clue what the guys were doing. He ran with the girls. This isn't to be mean or anything. It's just that he couldn't keep up. I can promise you, I couldn't keep up with the guys today either. I couldn't keep up with the girls. But anyway, that was what we did. That's who we were. And we went out and we ran that way. And it didn't matter. I mean, I wanted people to see that I was fit and in shape. Okay? I wanted them to see those things. This is something that at camp this year, we started this a couple of years ago, Brett and I had this discussion. We don't want to have any of those, anything that's a temptation, anything that causes others to be put down. We don't want to have those things. And so in the pool camp here at our session, we require shorts and t-shirts. Right, walking around in bathing suits. You can wear that underneath of those things. We don't want to have to worry about temptation. We don't want to have to worry about any of those things. Why? Because we want them to have a mindset that way. Here in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection of mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not out only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Take this back to Isaiah chapter 3 and think about those with outstretched necks who are looking down their nose at everybody else. Those who wanted to make sure that you saw everything that they owned. Those that were looking out for that state of excessive immoral living. Paul says you to do the exact opposite of those things. In fact, we have to have the same mind, that love for one another. In fact, I esteem others to be better than myself. I don't look down my nose at somebody. I esteem them to be better. In fact, what I am doing is I'm being humble and I'm going to build that person up, not tear them down. And I'm certainly not going to be a stumbling block to them. I want to make sure that I'm doing the things that are going to help them to get to heaven, not the things that are bringing them lower. This isn't a lesson about making sure that we, you know, wear our shirts a certain length and those sort of things. Look,
We have rules at places like Bible camp, but those things are rules that we should have every day in our life. My daughter's not allowed, my sons aren't allowed to leave the house if they can lift their arms up and I can see their midriff, or if they bend over and I can see immodest parts. Not having them. They're not leaving the house that way. It's my house. But I don't want them not to be a stumbling block to other people. Instead, I want them to make other people around them better and stronger. Are we perfect at that? No! Not anywhere close. Those are the things we strive for. Why? Because I want to those people I come into contact with to be esteemed better than me. Not lower than me. I don't want to look down my nose at them. That's not what I'm here for. That's not what I'm supposed to do. I have brethren. Do you see this? He's writing to the church at Philippi. Look at verse 2. We are to be like-minded, one accord. It's a standard that God says you're to have among yourselves, all of you, esteeming one another better, being humble, lifting those around you up, making them better, making them stronger. Look with me at Colossians chapter 3. This is the attitude and the mindset that we should have. We shouldn't have to worry about how they go out of the house if I'm teaching them to have these characteristics and attributes inside the house. These are things that they need to be able to see in one another, to see in me, and that, brethren, we should see in each other. Here in Colossians 3, beginning in verse number 12, Paul writes, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." Notice, but above in verse 14, "All these things put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful." Put on. We take off that man of sin. We are to put something back on. Notice here, this is what you're to be clothed in. You put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. And he writes and says, as the elect of God, holy. You see that? We are to be holy and beloved, meaning that we are the elect of God. We demonstrate holiness because we are beloved by God. This is God's love being demonstrated to those who are a part of His body, that one body we read of in verse number 15. You put on these things, then bear with one another in love. Meaning, I've got to have patience and kindness and demonstrate those things to one another. You get to do that to me because I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. We've got to help each other to grow. We've got to help each other to have that mindset to be like-minded. You see, modesty begins here, not anything outward. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Yes, we're going to talk about wives for just a moment. But we're also going to talk about husbands. 1 Peter chapter 3. Notice beginning here in verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, might be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. You know, husbands, in order for our wives to be that way, we have to be that type of husband to them that they desire to be this way. You know, we think about wife being submissive as far as the husband being the head of the house. We can go to Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, we see just that. That the husband is the head of the house just as Christ is the head of the church. But notice that Christ died for her, willing to give His life. That's the love demonstrated. See, husbands are to be the same way. I don't need my wife to go out and I don't need to dress her up. There's no reason. I don't want men to see my wife the way that I see my wife. My wife, for me, is the most beautiful woman in the world. And you can have your opinion about your own wife, and I hope that you do have that same opinion of your wife. I love my wife dearly. I don't want you to see what I see. She's mine, not yours. I want her to be submissive to me because of the way that I treat her and the way that I love her. You see, she would never think of doing the other anything differently. Why? Because she's my wife. She's not yours. But you see, I have a responsibility to her.
That responsibility to make sure that I demonstrate that type of love toward her. We deal with them in verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Weaker vessel doesn't mean weaker physically. I've seen women who can thump their husband with no problem. It doesn't mean weaker minded, because I know some ladies who are really, really smart and intelligent. What it means is this: in the manner in which she was designed to be in the home, when God put Adam to sleep and removed the rib and made woman, what he was saying was, I have made you the most perfect companion I can make for you. You're to treat her that way. We handle her like fine china, not like a basket case. Instead, we show her the respect that she's due. Fathers, I'm going to talk to you for a second. I know not all of you are blessed to have daughters, okay? I get it, and that's fine. I'm blessed to have a daughter. I love my daughter dearly. I expect my daughter to be with a man who is going to be respectful and treat her with respect in the way God would have him to treat her. Help them see and understand. Love doesn't come and isn't shown by the removal of clothes. Love is demonstrated and shown because of who she is as a person. You understand? Love doesn't come by taking off clothes. Love comes because you have shown exactly who you are as a person, and somebody give everything they have to spend their life with you and to show you just how special and perfect you are for them. See, that's what my daughter, I want her to see. I want her to understand. I expect my sons to know and to understand that the young ladies that they date, that they date in order to marry, not just date in order to say I dated somebody. I want them to go out with a woman who is going to be respectful of them, but that they too are going to respect. When my kids, anytime that they go on a date, they are told every time, you remember that you're as responsible for their soul as you are your own. All of these things start here in our minds, helping our kids to know and understand what God desires for them. The modesty comes naturally then because they have that relationship with God, knowing what God would have them to do. And that's because that's what they've seen and been shown in the home. My wife and I don't have the perfect marriage. There are times when I'm ignorant and lose my temper. There are times when I don't treat her godly. And unfortunately, my kids have seen those times too. But the one thing I will tell you, when we are striving to have that type of relationship with God, our kids, yes, they're going to see imperfection, but they're also going to see the godly things. They're going to see the way that a husband and wife are to treat one another. My kids know that my wife is the most beautiful woman in the world. They know that because I've told them over and over again. But they also know that my wife, in the modesty that she demonstrates that same thing in our home. It's not outside one way, at home another. Those things are always shown and always demonstrated. I don't get to be, and I can't be, if I want to go to heaven one way around you and another way around the world. I've got to be consistent. Consistency in Christianity and a Christian life is the hardest thing that we do.
Parents, we have to raise our kids to know just how beautiful and how much they mean to God first, because we demonstrate that love to them every day so that they don't desire to do those things that are ungodly. Does that mean they're going to be perfect? No, they're not. They're going to make mistakes? Yeah, they are. Our homes need to be the safe spot for them to be able to do that, where we can help them and help them understand that there are consequences, yes, to those decisions, but there's also love that is demonstrated and shown to help them see it. When we think about modesty, all too often we think about simply what we're putting on. It starts with our mind. And these are the things that we saw in Philippians chapter 2 that we are to put on. Put on kindness and gentleness and mercy. We put on those godly attributes so that others are able to see God living in us. That's the responsibility we have. Adam and Eve slipped up and they made a mistake. You know what? We all have done that same thing. The other side of it is we've all had our eyes opened in the exact same manner as them. And what we saw, maybe not physical nakedness, but we saw spiritual nakedness, where we have slipped up and we have made a mistake and we've got to do things to be right. We've got to make sure that God comes first. We've got to make sure that we desire to be a child of His. And after we have become that child of His, everybody, those in our home and those outside of it, what they see is a person who is humble in building others around them up. A person who is clothed in godly clothing. Who is clothed with kindness and love, meekness and gentleness. Who is clothed in such a way that others don't look at us and think anything worldly. Instead, what they see is a godly life and a person striving to live for God every single day. At that point in time, the modesty, you could also say, is godly. Because that's what they see in our lives. Clothed in godliness. Don't need to show anybody anything that God would not intend you to, unless it's your husband or your wife. What we need to see every day around everyone that sees us is that we are clothed with God, walking with Him, making sure that others are able to see Christ living in us, making sure that when others get to be around us, that instead what they see is that we are always going to have their best interest at heart and in mind. This morning, I ask you to look at your life for just a moment. I want you to think about modesty and not your clothes that you put on necessarily. Yes, they need to be godly. Don't misunderstand me. We need to be covered. But I ask you to look at the modesty that you exhibit in your life. Is it about making others around you better and bringing them to God? Or is it about tearing them down? Is it about making them feel less of a person than you are? Are we doing it to make ourselves look or feel better? We all know those people. And unfortunately, I can tell you that in my life, I've been that person. I don't want to be that person any longer. I want to bring others to Christ. I want them to understand and see what it is to be a child of God so that they can live with Him for all eternity. I ask you this morning, what does your life look like? Are you clothed with God? Do you demonstrate that life to others? Or are we walking around immodestly, haughty, ungodly apparel, letting others see just how worldly we truly can be? That's a lifestyle we've got to put away and get rid of. We clothe ourselves in such a way that God is seen in our lives. This morning, maybe you're here, not yet a child of God. Your responsibility is to be willing to put that old mindset away, that old person away, to put away the worldly aspects of life, being willing to confess Jesus, not only in what you say, but in what you do. Be buried with Him in baptism, where you come into contact with that precious blood that washes away your sins and you rise to walk in newness of life, clothed with God, faithful unto death. This morning, if you're here as a child of God, but perhaps modesty is not reigning in your life, there is a modesty that you need to get rid of. This morning, if we can help you get rid of that in any way, we'd ask you to come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.